This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Rise on K Pulpit.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you so much for joining me on this program this afternoon. And we have got an incredible guests in the studio with us this afternoon. We've got Pastor Jared and Pastor Lucinda. They are from Save the World Foundation, and I can tell you now, I followed them fervently in my earlier years when I was with God TV, and they just got an incredible ministry. They are sold out for the souls of the youth, and it is such a relentless ministry to be in, because you know you are just going into these schools and trying to change the world and trying to change the youth, and it's such a huge task and an assignment that the Lord has given you, and you do it so passionately. But please share a little bit. But I'm going to ask you to share straight after our music break, because I really want you to give us a little bit of background of where you've come from and why did you come into South Africa. You are South Africans, and then you went overseas, and then you're back now again. So I want you to give us your whole story and tell us, how are you back in South Africa and why? And I know it's for the youth, and I really want to hear what you're going about to do. So we're going to take a music break now, and we'll be with you straight after this.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Thank you for staying with us this afternoon. And if you've just joined us, we have got Pastor Jared Davidoff and Lucinda, and they are from the Save the World Foundation, and they have seen 6.5 million children come to salvation in public schools. What a legacy, and what an accomplishment to absolutely take with you to heaven. And it's such an incredible accomplishment. And thank you so much for your remarkable testimony. But Pastor Jared, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where have you been? How did you grow up? And how did you end up in this ministry?
First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Slight correction at 6.2 million,
okay,
but I'll take the 300,000.
It's on its way.
It's a great prophecy yes. for this year. Basically, I come from a Jewish family, grew up Jewish. My parents are Jewish, grandparents are Jewish. We go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's great.
And like every Jewish boy, or most Jewish boys, I wanted to be a very rich business person. So I was very entrepreneurial at school, always making money at elementary school, high school. My mother and father were amazing people. Unfortunately, my father had high blood pressure, and he never took his tablets, and he had a stroke. The result of the stroke was he could never walk or talk again. So it was really tough on my mother financially. He didn't have medical aid. So I had to make a plan. A Boomaka plan.
A way forward.
Yeah, there's always and that actually was life-changing. I remember one life-changing thing. And for a Jewish guy, this is pretty rough. My mother really didn't have a lot of money. And I went to the next grade, and naturally you have to get clothes. So she said, you know, my boy, like, I haven't really got the money. You need to go to the swap shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Mom, what's that? She said, no, this is the classroom. And it still didn't click on me what she was talking about. Like, no, you go there with this jacket and this, and you swap it. And when I got there, I was like in shock. That, oh my gosh, like how embarrassing. Like, I don't want to do that. So I definitely made sure no other kids were in there, because kids can really ridicule you. I went in there. I quickly swapped what I had to swap. But I made a vow. I was only like 10 or 11 years old. And I said, I will never come back here. I will make money at school. And at school, I used to make money. I became the best card person with superhero cards, marbles. I practice, hustled kids, beat them, sold it back to them. The poorer kids, I didn't charge too much. The rich kids who wanted like Superman, Spider-Man, I was just making money. And I thought that was my destiny. So I thought I'm going to be a billionaire. I was really impressed by Walt Disney. I wanted to have theme parks and hotels and things like that. And my uncle was a mega, mega wealthy guy in the maybe 100 or 200 million strong like 30 years ago. And he said, no, Jared, I'm going to back you. I'm going to back you. I'm going to back you. So I was excited. I was making money. My rich uncle was mentoring me. And then Messianic Jews started telling me about Jesus. And now Philip Shapiro, David Nathan, Manny Reuter, they're telling me Jesus, Yeshua is our Messiah. And I'm like, boys, what are you talking about? Like, and then what started to influence me is when they would show me in the Tanakh, you know, the Old Testament, all the specific prophecies that Yeshua has to go through. He has to be born in the house of David, born in Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 53, he had to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is silent, he wouldn't open his mouth. He would bear the sins of many. So all the evidence was before me, and I was always a curious person by nature. And when they started presenting the gospel to me, it really started making an impact on me. And I even remember back when I was 15 or 16 years old watching TV, and the Jesus movie came up.
Yes.
The old Jesus of Nazareth. Mm. And I watched it like from the beginning, and I was so taken in by Jesus, Yeshua. And, you know, I didn't know they were going to crucify him because, like, as Jews, we're not taught that. And when they crucified him at the end, I was crying, bawling my eyes out. This is so wrong. I can't believe they did it to him. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days later, he rose. And I'm like, what the heck? What just happened? There was no one to seal the deal, close the deal. So no one came on. I always said it would have been great if Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke, someone came on and said, you know, if you've just watched this movie and you are touched in your heart, pray this prayer. And then I probably would have received Jesus. But the seed was sown. Then I have all these Jews telling me that Jesus is ours. He's the Jewish Messiah. I think the Lord knew I needed to hear the gospel from Jewish people, being a Jew. It was just more convincing.
Yes.
It wasn't like a Christian trying to convert me or...
That's right.
Then I would probably think, you know, like you, Jesus is for you
guys. They knew the angle.
They knew the angle. They knew the... They had a great pitch. They had a great presentation. Especially Manny. Like I would be in the gym in the afternoons. I was a very good tennis player as a teenager. And he would target me. He would come and sit next to me on the bicycle and flip open his Bible and start preaching to me. And instead of being embarrassed, I was like, this guy has chutzpah. Like,
yes.
I'm going to listen to him. Like, I know it takes guts to do what he's doing. And then they invited me to David Nathan's Connect group. He's a Messianic Jew. He's now a pastor as a church. But then he just came out of being a really religious Jew, and he knew the Bible so well. And Philip kept hacking me, and you got to come to this guy. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming. And every week I put him off. And the one Wednesday night I conceded, I went. I thought, let me just get Philip off my back. So I went to this meeting, and that was the first time, must have been 30 people or so. Mm. And that was the first time as a Jew I saw people worshiping Jesus, and all their eyes were closed. They had such peace on their faces. And I thought, you know, I didn't close my eyes. I'm just looking at the expressions to see if this is real. And the pastor had a word of knowledge. He said, there's someone in this room that's gone through this, 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 and this, about five specific things.
And
I nearly fainted. And it was embarrassing things. And then he said, will this person come forward? And I said in my mind, not on your life, buddy. There's no way. It's too embarrassing. I won't say what it was. So I waited for everyone to go home. And then I went up to him and I said, you know, David, the person you were speaking about is me. So up until then, I had all the two Jewish guys, especially Philip and Manny, they were on me every day, every second day for half an hour, 40 minutes, like, and I'm asking questions. And then just before that evening, I was in the gym maybe 2-3 days before, and I looked in the mirror and I said, Hashem, God, I'm such a sinner. I don't deserve Yeshua. I don't deserve Jesus. Like, let me do some more mitzvahs, because as Jews, the more good works you do, the more chance you have getting into heaven, you know. So let me do some more good works, and then I'll ask Jesus. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Jared, it's while you're a sinner, that's when you have to ask Jesus. So now I'm in the guy's house. Everyone goes home. I said, you know, David, that's me. He said, would you like Jesus? I said, yes. He said, come with me into my living room. I went. And he said, pray this prayer. So I said, Jesus, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. And I'm praying the prayer of salvation. And I end it like, in Jesus' name, amen. And the power of God smacks me to the floor. I'm on the floor. I thought, oy vey, what the heck? What's happened? Did I faint? Did I crack my head? Did I break my back? And I tried to get up. I couldn't get up.
That must have been awesome.
And I'd never seen like any like evangelists pray for people, blow on people, sneeze on people, wave a handkerchief, and the power of God. None of the above. So this was all like overwhelming. And then the experience I had on the floor was, because I just received Jesus, and obviously scripturally my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit came in me. But I felt the weight of the world lift off my shoulder. All pain, rejection, embarrassing things. And I just felt the most incredible love and acceptance come into my heart.
That is so true.
And that's the night I received Jesus. And
that is,
and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Sticking to it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then, obviously, what happened after that, you know, what journey did you take? Obviously, you met Lucinda somewhere on the journey.
Yeah.
And where did your heart come for the youth?
So I want, having got saved, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a billionaire. I wanted to be the richest man on earth. That was my ambition. Because I saw the value of money even before I got saved. You can really help a lot of people and help the poor and orphanages, things like that. And then the Lord showed me, Jared, the most valuable commodity on earth is not money, it's souls.
That's great.
And He gave me a heart for souls. So that instead of trying to...
That drove you.
That drove me. Mm. And so I went to Bible college. I got equipped. Did evangelism courses. And then one evening, an American preacher came to our church and he said, if you want to know what God's called you to do, come forward. I went forward and with my eyes closed, I saw a vision of me preaching to maybe 20, 30,000 people in front of me. And that's the night the Lord really showed me I've called you as an evangelist. So I finished my Bible college and took my life savings and bought a sound system and went to Jabair Park in the inner city of Johannesburg.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And I was a white man in a black man's world.
Yes.
I was literally the only white person. Like in 3 years, I think I saw like three white people. Like,
because
they're scared they're going to get killed.
That
you know?
Is courage.
Everyone said, Jared, you're going to get killed, mugged. They'll steal your sound system. And I said, no, God's called me. So I literally started with myself, two African ladies. And they did the singing, and then we built the team up to about 50 people, and so I was preaching like three times on a Saturday, salvation, so it would go salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, salvation, and then you have like an hour and a half more music, get a crowd. I'd preach salvation 20 minutes, baptism of the Holy Spirit 20 minutes, whoever needs healing 20 minutes. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth. And then I started lecturing evangelism at Rhema Bible School in Johannesburg.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
And one of my students actually was one of the most famous motivational speakers in the world. He said, you know, I just came back from Nigeria. I think you should go there. And I said, it's amazing, because he was doing a motivational thing for Coca-Cola company. And I said, no, actually, Ryan Obonke is doing a crusade in Lagos, Nigeria in the year 2000. He said, I'll pay your ticket.
Just like that?
Just like that. I'll pay your ticket.
Remarkable.
And this student of mine, he was older than me, like 10 years older. He said, no, Pastor, I really want to take you for lunch. I want to take you for lunch. And normally, as a lecturer, you wouldn't normally go with a student for lunch. But he was on me. He was hounding me. And please, I want to spend time with you. And I said, okay, I'll come. And please let me drive you. Please let me drive you. I said, okay, sure, we can drive. I'll let you. No, come in my car. No, come in my car. The guy had a Rolls Royce.
Oh, my God.
So, no, like very, very successful guy.
Very successful.
And then I told one of my best friends, you're not going to believe what happened. This guy came, my student. He said, I'll pay your ticket. And then my friend said, well, I'll pay your accommodation.
So it just rolled.
Like in one night, it was. So I went on Round Up Bunkers Crusade, and unbeknown to me, Tia Brits, she sent. Who was Reinhard's South African director? She sent my Joubert Park Crusade, which had 20 to 25,000 people. She sent that tape of me preaching to Reinhard without me even knowing it. So when I eventually met Reinhard Bonnke, I didn't know like he'd known me. And Peter van den Berg, his right hand man, said, no, we've known about you for like many years. Pastor Ray keeps telling us, I got this Jewish guy in my church and he's preaching the gospel. And so it was like a perfect thing.
It was just God's orchestration, yeah. Hey? Absolutely amazing.
And then I became Rhema's evangelist for about 2 years and then started Save the World Foundation in 2002.
Yes.
And since then, by God's grace, we've done 9,186 plus minus school campaigns. And we've led 6.2 million children to Jesus.
Amen.
We have six teams. Each team does 150 schools a year. So we do 900 schools a year and averaging anything from 300, 400, 450,000 kids a year in South Africa giving their lives to Jesus. And
but isn't that incredible that schools actually allow this to happen still, you know? They allow it. And the fact that you are getting, you are nipping everything in the bud, this is our next generation.
Absolutely.
So praise the Lord for this ministry, honestly. Mm-hmm. And Lucinda, where did you come into the whole mix of things? Because I'm sure that must have been also really daunting for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I was living in England and my brother, who's a pastor, Pastor Bert Pretorius, he introduced me to Jared. He like called me. He's like, I want to introduce you to this guy. He's an evangelist and I think you guys would get on. And he started emailing me. It was before Facebook. So he did it by faith. He didn't know what I looked like or anything like that. He just started emailing me. I thought the guy was a little bit eccentric, you know, but I was like, okay, well, when I go back to South Africa, I'll meet him, you know? So when I came back from the UK, we met and we became friends. And yeah, the rest is history. Yeah. So I resigned eventually from the banks where I worked because I'm a CA. So I was working there.
Yes.
And I started volunteering or working at his ministry. I wasn't volunteering, but my salary was almost like
she
a volunteer.
She had a 90% pay cut when she joined me, literally.
Yeah. So I started volunteering and just going out on the outreaches with Save the World Foundation. Obviously, I'm a pastor's kid. So, my foundation is solid in the word. And but really going out as an evangelist and with evangelists was really so life-changing, seeing the kids. I remember the first few schools that we went to, I would just cry all the way home because the stories were just heartbreaking that these beautiful, innocent kids are going through such hardships. But also just seeing the miracles and how open the kids were to the gospel. Mm-hmm. And how they really encountered the Lord, that there was a supernatural encounter in the outreaches. People were being set free from demons. We were seeing kids that were abused and at home, sexually, physically, all kinds would come and we would pray with them and just really, you know, bring the Lord and just say, incarnate them, Lord Jesus. And just seeing how the Lord incarnated these kids and used these outreaches to really bring about a miracle and a transformation has been just life-changing and it just really changed my perspective of reaching out and evangelism.
And
yeah.
Noting the urgency and it's so needing to be done.
Yes. I mean, these kids are so open.
Mm.
like you can be preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they would be weeping because they don't have a plan B.
They don't.
They only have a plan. It's, if they hear about Jesus, they're like, I need him, you know. So that was the most like awe-strucking, like it just really struck my heart that these kids are so open and all they need is somebody to be obedient, to be willing to be uncomfortable and go into places that maybe are not that safe, you know, and to be willing to take their time to preach the gospel. So it's been amazing, life transforming. And what I've really admired about Save the World Foundation and Jared's tenacity and is his consistency. I mean, since he started 2001, he has not
hasn't left.
He hasn't lost his passion and he's been consistent. We've never not gone to the school since the year that Save the World Foundation started.
Incredible.
And so consistency in ministry is key. Yes. So I love the fact that, you know, he hasn't stepped away, hasn't slowed down, but really just, and the mission hasn't changed. The mission hasn't changed and the message is the same. That Jesus came, you know, and it's a simple message of the miracle working power of God that Jesus heals. He loves us. He's come to deliver you. He is here to help you to prosper and to change your life and that he can do miracles. And so it's just been life transforming to see what the Lord is doing and how even through our training school, how meek people come in and how the Lord just within like a week, they are preaching like on fire evangelists. Like you think to yourself, how is this person ever going to preach to 1,000 kids at a school? And within a week of like teaching them, getting them up on the platform, critiquing them, motivating them, they are preaching like evangelists. So it's just amazing how God equips, you know, and that way we preach the word, we teach the word, we apply the word, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, the work of the ministry, when we impart that, when the evangelists impart that gift to others, that they are able to step up and be bold.
Oh, incredible. We have to come back to this because I'm just getting so, I would say revved up, if you can say that, if you may say that on the radio. But I'm just so encouraged by this because, you know, this is so important for us to understand and not to lose the passion. I mean, to have the longevity, years have gone by and you're still moving in the same pace. Yeah. It's incredible. But we're going to join you straight after this amazing track that we're going to listen to now. Enjoy, family. And worship and just praise the Lord because we are busy stepping into something beautiful. And this is the year that we can really go out and get up to what God has got wants for us to do. And we need to be doing things now. Yes. And we don't have time to waste.
Amen.
So our youth is important. Mm. So this is a program about return on investment. I can tell you now, this couple is carrying that mantle and that mandate. Absolutely beautiful. But please be encouraged and we're going to join you straight after this.
Attention Cape Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. listeners. We appreciate your support and loyalty to our station. To help us continue bringing you the best content and music, we invite you to sign up for a debit order. By doing so, you ensure that our broadcasts remain uninterrupted and that we can keep delivering the programming you love. If you're within our broadcasting reception area, this is your chance to make a difference. Your contributions will directly support our operations and help us grow. To sign up for a debit order, please visit our website at www.capepulpit.co.za. Thank you for being part of our community. Stay tuned to Cape Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m.
WhatsApp the studio now. Save the number on your phone, 081-729-1657. That's 081-729-1657.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Oh my goodness, I tell you now, I am just absolutely so excited to have Pastor Jared and Lucinda Davidoff in the studio with us this afternoon from Save the World Foundation, and they are just doing phenomenal work. There is no other words I can say. I actually have no words to explain the incredible work they are doing amongst the youth. And it is so powerful to see that they've not lost their passion. They've not lost the pace. They're still running this race full on. And they come backwards and forwards to America and back to South Africa. But they've just been blessed now with an incredible, just by asking, and I want you to be encouraged by this, because I have got big dreams as well. And I'm just so absolutely enthralled that the Lord has met their needs. So just share with us what has happened.
Let me just backtrack. The first 5 years of my ministry, well, whenever you start a ministry, it's like, where am I going to operate from? And year one, before I even started the ministry, the Lord touched a business guy to give me an office in his office park. He gave it to me for a year, and I was so grateful, but then he sold it. So now I needed, like, where's our team going to operate from? And the Lord touched another businessman without me even approaching him, saying, you know, the Lord told me I must buy a house in Randburg, Johannesburg, and you can operate from it 5 years rent-free. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that 5 years, he really needed the money, and he needed to sell it. But my best friend found this house, this property that a mutual friend had in Four Ways, Johannesburg. And he said, Jared, I really believe you guys need to be here. So I went to see it. And the guy that owned it, Johan, we rented it from him for like a year. But then he needed to sell it. So I had a fundraising event to try and raise money for this house. Cut a long story short, I invited every wealthy person I could think of, and they all knew why they were there. Okay. And I
love this, talk the talk and just straight up.
And now my family thought Jared lost it receiving Jesus, right? They already knew that. But now I had a fundraising event, shared the vision. I think it was 2.3 million rand 15 years ago. That's how much this property cost. Mm. And I raised, guess how much on the night? 5,000 rand.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought I'm the worst Jewish fundraiser in history. If the Jews get a hold of this, they're going to say, he's not a true Jew. We told you he's not really Jewish. He's not one of us. But there was a guy there that said, are you free for breakfast? So 2 weeks later, we go for breakfast. He said, I'm working on a deal. If I crack the deal, I'm giving you 450,000 rand. I said, praise God, that's incredible. Now, this is 15 years ago. I'm like, this is maybe 13 years ago.
This is a lot of money those years.
So I'm like, thank you so much. Now Johan wants to sell it. And the banks won't loan us money. The fundraising event didn't work that well. But so it's all on this guy. And he said, like, maybe 2-3 weeks later, are you free for breakfast again? I said, let me check my schedule. Yes, I'm free.
Of course I am.
He hadn't even given me the date. Let me look. Yeah, I'm free. He said, I'm so close to sealing this deal. If the deal comes through, I haven't forgot. I'm going to give you 200,000, 250,000. I wanted to say to him, but you said 450,000. You've dropped it by half. But you can't say anything. I said, oh, thank you so much. But I didn't say what you promised. 3 weeks later, he says, I cracked the deal. I'm buying your house for you.
My goodness.
He paid cash, and I think he gave us 100,000 or 200,000 rand extra for the money. That was
just setting up.
That was like 15 years ago. So,
praise the Lord.
So our property in Johannesburg is debt free for like 15 years, right? 2008, we come to Cape Town, my team and I. We had four teams at that stage. And 2008. And then what happened was I'm driving around Stellenbosch. Now, we did 700 schools, led 450,000 kids. I'm driving through Stellenbosch. The Lord speaks to me and says, someone's going to buy you a farm in Stellenbosch. I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's incredible. Go back, tell the team, guys, someone's going to buy us a farm in like the Stellenbosch area. This is 2008.
Mm.
I thought it's going to happen in weeks. I mean, my faith is out there. I've got extreme faith, the gift of faith.
Come on,
so
Lord.
2009 kicks in. I'm like, guys, God's going to give us this farm. Our teams are going to stay there. The evangelism school, I see the power of God. In this vision, I saw bodies lying everywhere.
Yes.
From the power of God, kids being slain in the spirit. Being
there's nothing small about you.
Being set free, delivered, on fire. Just becoming like gladiators, warriors. Yes, and then yes, we send them out around the world. Strange thing, it didn't happen in 2009. Then 2010, God's going to give us a farm. I've got the same 1 hour. I'm telling our team, 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 2021, 2022. Right. I'm telling them every year this amazing story. And I joked to Lucinda, I said, you know what? Before I call everyone together, I'm sure they say, "Not guys, listen, Jared's going to be excited. Just say amen, clap." Yes, Pastor, we believe it, Pastor. Lucinda said, "Jared, we all doubted you." We're just going to be honest. We all doubted you.
Yeah, we're just going
to. So like 2 years ago, my friend in America, who is one of the greatest men of God in history because of what he's done, sells his air conditioning company in America. On a Friday afternoon, I'm looking at how much farms in the Stellenbosch area cost, 4,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000.
So every year you're looking for farms?
No, I'd not looked at one website until then. Okay. But now, 2 years ago on a Friday afternoon, I'm looking at farms. Lucinda comes in and says, "Oh, I thought you were working on your sermon." No, I'm looking at farms. The guy calls me on Monday or Tuesday, said, "God spoke to me and told me I must buy you a property." "What's that all about?" I said, "You're not going to believe it." In 2008, and I told him the story. He said, "I'll buy it for you." I was so excited, I forgot to ask, "What's the budget?" So then I'm like, "Oh, this is embarrassing. I can't now phone him. Oh, what's my budget?"
Now you're like wanting
to. So I'm like, "Okay, I'll send him farms from 4 million to 30 million, 35, 40 million. There was an olive farm for about 7 million. I liked it. And then he said, "No, I like the olive one." I said, "No, I also like it." Then he says, "I'll buy it for you." I'm like, "Seriously, I'll buy it for you." Email the realtor. "Sorry, it was just sold." Thank God it was just sold. Then my friend, my best friend, Charlie, finds this farm called Langverwacht, started in 1721, 150 acres. They've had like 700 weddings on the farm, but the man that owned it was 93 years old.
Mm.
So it's really dilapidated, run down, hadn't been painted in decades. But
it's just got history.
But it's an incredible potential for 35 million.
Mm.
So I said to Lucinda, "How the heck am I going to present a 35 million rand farm to a guy that was willing to pay 7 million? So I'm busy thinking as a Jewish boy, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to blame Charlie. Charlie found it. Charlie's getting blamed." So I write this whole email to my friend, Stan, and I say, "You know, Charlie found the farm. Charlie thinks Charlie. In the meantime, I want it." And then I follow it up and I say, "Oh, like the farm." He said, "I'll buy it for you." So he bought it for us.
Just
cost 30 with transfer duties, 38 million rand.
For real.
And I asked so many people to help with a tractor. We needed a tractor. No one was budging. So I'd said to the same man, "We really need a tractor. I'll buy you a tractor. 750,000 rand.
Yes, I know.
Then we needed a wood chopper because we have a 30-acre forest with a lot of biomass on the floor. He bought us a 750,000 rand wood chopper, one of those big wood choppers. We've been wood chopping now for 13 months. And we only 70% through running everything through the family cut all the branches and never removed anything.
Oh my!
It was
goodness.
So bad. So to cut a long story short, we got the farm, we're fixing the farm up, and we stepped out in faith for the building project. It cost like 3.9 million rand, and we had maybe 600,000. This is the first time I've really stepped out in faith in a big way. Everything's big, but this is the biggest.
Biggest, sure.
And the Lord's been providing every step of the way. So
that is incredible.
It's a faith project. And let it be an encouragement to other men and women of God to stand in faith for the property the Lord's told them to stand in faith. Mm-hmm. I can just say, like, when the Lord told me in 2008, someone's going to phone you, I never gave up. Like, standing in faith.
Yes, I mean, you believed every year.
And I mean, I met this guy in a parking lot in the church. My 12-year-old son that was six, I start talking to the guy and he's like, no, what do you do? No, I'm an evangelist. And I told him what we do. What do you do? No, I have an air conditioning company. The sweetest guy, one of the nice people you'll ever meet in your life. Very humble, soft-spoken, obviously super smart. He says, oh, me and my brother love supporting missions. Why don't you come visit my brother and then we'll take you for lunch or something? I'm expecting to show up at the air conditioning company. It's the two of them and maybe three workers. Maybe they have a bucky. You know, it was the biggest air conditioning company in California. And then they sold it. And he said, I want to do something with the finances. His children are in their 40s and 50s. They set the kid, everyone set up for life. Mm. So this is such an amazing testimony of a businessman who's set for life, but he sold his company and he wanted to use the money
and invest
for something
that's eternal.
For
the kingdom eternal.
And I mean,
I've just had a businessman with the same heart.
And he will go
that's
down
what
in.
We need to encourage people.
That's
to
incredible.
Do. It's incredible.
So no, he's going to go down in history because, like, kingdom history, because.
Of course.
We've already raised up 450 evangelists in the last 10 years or so.
Incredible.
Now with this, we're going to be raising up thousands. And because we don't charge, so when we started 10 years ago, my best friend who's a businessman as well, I said, you know, how much are we going to charge? Because you have that mentality. You do a 10-week evangelism course. You charge people.
Mm.
He said, you know, his name's Charlie. Charlie said, if we charge, it's services rendered. Mm. If you sow, you have equity in their soul count. So everything, everything they lead to the Lord is accounted to your heavenly bank account. But let me say, we never count in Save the World Foundation other people's evangelism stats. Like all those 450 people, I've never taken 10, 20, 50, 80, 100, 10,000 of their souls. Save the World is 2.2 million. But some of the people we've chained up, like this one guy, Harry, he's led like nearly 1.5 million people to the Lord. There's one guy, Vincent, he's led over 1 million. Freddie van Rensburg, who you must interview, great guy.
Please.
He's led 500,000 or 600,000.
Oh,
so, and now we got 450 of these people. Now, not everyone, most have led thousands, some tens of thousands, some hundreds of thousands.
It makes a difference. They're in the lane that they need to be.
A few is a million.
Yes.
So collectively, only the Lord knows, like, it's
that number.
Mm. So that's our heart. Save the World Foundation. We want to go
equip and send out.
Yes. Now, there are three kinds of people that can join our evangelism school. Number one, and this is for the pastors listening, if there's someone in your church, pastor, who's on fire for the Lord, an evangelist, a missionary, send them to us. We will train them and they will go back to your church and implement what we've trained them to do so that they can be an asset to that church.
Mm.
Then the other kind of person that we generally train, some people already have their own evangelism ministry, but it's a lot of it's like trial and error. So they come to us for 10 weeks.
And then they just
we teach them everything. Also the admin of running a
That's so important.
Lucinda's a chartered accountant. I'm business savvy. So we teach them how to start their ministry, run their ministry, board members. You have to have like an NPO, nonprofit, a separate bank account. We teach them all of this so that they can become
things.
Because the Lord wants to bless. There are so many anointed evangelists, but they don't know
how to
register their ministry and this and that. The Lord can't give them too much money or they're going to go to jail. So,
exactly.
So we teach them, separate bank accounts, this and that. And, and then the third kind of person we after is we as a ministry, the Lord showed me in my lifetime, we'll see 250 teams. So we currently have six. So we're looking for those evangelists out there. The church doesn't really want them. They're kind of like
too much.
The outcasts of the church, you know. But they're the radical ones, the loud ones, yes. The big personalities. Everyone thinks, oh, Johnny's out there, Susie's out there doing their own thing, evangelizing. No, that's the personality of an evangelist.
Yes.
Like my friend who bought us a farm said, so have all your team gone to university, to college? I said, let me explain something. Most evangelists had a rough life. They've been abused physically, sexually, verbally, drugs, gangs. They're the prime targets for evangelists because when someone is so lost, broken, and empty, when they get saved, they are so grateful to the Lord. They want to work for Him.
They're just on fire.
A person that's been to college or university that's very well educated is always going to think, you know, this doesn't pay a lot to be an evangelist. Mm. Like, so you must want to be an evangelist because of the calling. Like,
that's right.
Otherwise, become a businessman, become a businesswoman, do evangelism on the side.
Mm.
But we're always looking for evangelists. If the evangelist listening to the show, or maybe some
and
of the listeners know someone.
Many of our guests are that, and they've also need to some channeling and just some molding and. I'm going to contact a half a dozen of them, actually more than that, because we've all been exposed to amazing, gifted men and women, and they just don't know how to launch
formulate
themselves.
Exactly. Yes. And we love it. Like, everyone has job fulfillment.
That's correct.
Nurses, doctors, teachers. One of my passions is to help someone launch their ministry. And I hope they're 10 times bigger than us.
Mm. Of course.
I hope they raise people from the dead, cast the, we're not threatened by these great anointed people.
You just go for it.
We want the future around at Bonkers Billy Graham's.
Yes, absolutely.
So
praise the Lord for that. Oh, I just love what you're doing. And honestly, you actually just answered something for myself for what I've been called to do and the money story. Because I'm not driven by money. And I want the results. I just want people healed and whole.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that for me, as everybody says, no, you need money, you need to do this, and I would love to get to know myself, just to get myself into a position of how to start my ministry.
We'll teach you.
Yeah, that will be amazing. So I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Yeah,
well, Philippians 4 says that Paul's talking to people and he's saying to them, you know, I want you to have the blessing of my ministry. And that's where people sow into the ministry. And I think for your ministry, one thing that we teach the students to do is to create a partner base and to start letting people know what you're doing, and then believing that there are going to be people that will see the value of what you're doing, and then they get to sow. I mean, it's a privilege for them to sow into your work.
Mm.
And that is how the Lord blesses the evangelist.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I'm so, so absolutely. May the Lord just continuously use you mightily for His glory and for His kingdom. May you just go upwards and forwards, and may the Lord just establish everything that He's got purposed and planned for you. I cannot tell you how you are going to be part of the end times. It's just going to be amazing men and women of God that are going to be coming through your ministry, which I really can. I'm already thinking like you do. I'm just seeing thousands of people being saved, thousands of children also being driven and ignited to be able to be raised, young men and women that are just going to make the right choices for themselves and go out there and just be on fire. Start preaching at schools and talking, to their friends and bringing their friends along, because we really need to get the kids connected to God so that they can have hope.
Amen.
For in this broken world that they come, that they live in, there's no parenting, no skills, no, you know, so many other defaults that they go through. We really need to find a way that we can turn the wheel, and that God can just see that we need to work with our youth. And thank you for the love that you have for our people. I just want to get so tearful and emotional about it, because it's my heart as well. So just thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. You've been such a blessing.
Thank you so much.
And very excited. So people, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we will be with you next week. And we're looking forward to being with you with another beautiful guest. I only have the best guest. I've had such a full day today. And it's just been absolutely marvelous.
Can I just make one quick announcement?
Please do.
So in the next few months, we're going to... We're finishing construction in the next 2 months, and then probably within the next 4 months, we're going to have an evangelism school.
Okay.
So any evangelists, if they can go on Save the World Foundation.
Yes, that's what I would love. I was going to share that with you. Please do that. Save the World Foundation.
So it's savetheworldfoundation.com. We're also on Instagram, Save the World Foundation. And then I don't mind giving, can we give our
please,
phone number?
Please, everything.
Best is to text 082-825-0459. That's my personal cell. If you want to join the evangelism school, it's for free.
Yes.
So people living in Cape Town can just drive to the farm. We're not set up quite yet for accommodation for people outside of South Africa. We have a bit, but not too much. But if people can
get number, it's 082-490-2198.
What did I say?
You had a mixture.
082-490-2198.
But I think let's go look at the Save the World Foundation. I think start there and start working at trying to connect. And you're also welcome to contact us as well. And we normally have some information of our guests. And please ask about it.
Thank you.
We will guide you. And just take care. Look after yourselves. Stick to the rules. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.